The following program is produced and distributed by KETR.org. You can help by visiting KETR.org and clicking donate.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Lion's Mane's Cafe here on the campus of A&M Commerce and the final fall semester edition of Lion's Roar here with Lion Athletics. I'm Josh Mank, Associate AD for Communications and Marketing here at A&M Commerce, and I'm joined first by our head men's basketball coach, Jarrett Von Rosenberg. Lions undefeated at 9-0 to start the season and start your career. I know I had to say it once. I know you don't like talking about it that much, but we got to get it out of the way. This is quite a start for your Lions.
Yeah, we're excited about where we're at. You know, we got finals this week, and we've done a great job up to this point. And we go on the road for three really tough games to end out the fall semester. And, you know, we want to just focus on getting through this week, getting to practice, and getting to Friday and tip off with a tough Rodgers team that's coming in expecting to win as we are too.
Well, before we start talking about the Hillcats and this weekend, we got to go back and look at the last week. Your first full conference weekend here at home in the Fieldhouse, and it starts with Education Day. What were the emotions of the guys when they come out on the floor and there's 2,100 screaming kids still there?
Oh, it was fun. It was just different for a lot of guys that hadn't experienced something like that. And, you know, the energy to start the women's game all the way through our game was really, really good, and that gave us a good – you know, a good home court advantage. You know, anytime you're playing a Lone Star team and you can pack the gym, it always makes it nice.
Both games having to start at 11 o'clock because of Education Day, or 1 o'clock for you guys, but Education Day on Thursday, and then the we had a big event here on Saturday. You know, it was a little busy here on campus. How much does that throw your team off during a week, having to schedule things way earlier in the day than normal?
Well, it shouldn't. It's a game of basketball, and you know we knew well before. It's not like they changed game time on us the day of the game. We knew well before. We were prepared. We, you know, practiced accordingly, moved up some practice times, and you know had our meals set up. And it's just, you know, you got to be ready. Your team's going to deal with adversity, whether it's on the floor, off the floor, with different things. You got to be ready to tip when the ball goes up and play.
So the first game, the Eastern New Mexico game. Started off, it was a two-point game at halftime, wound up winning by 7. Talk us through that game, especially the second half, shooting two-thirds from the floor. That was a pretty good shooting performance there by the Lions.
Well, we've had a couple halves like that. You know, I want to give Coach Siegler and Eastern a lot of credit. They came in and shot the ball really well, really competed, competed on the glass, competed defensively. You know, we made shots, especially in that second half, and you know, that's a theme. We did the same thing at Midwestern, and you know, I keep telling our guys it's not going to always happen, but it is nice when it happens. But we were able to, you know, every time that we bumped it to 12, 15 points, they responded and really made it a tight game all the way down the end.
Four guys in double figures in that game. Willie Rooks had 25 points, which is very impressive, but looking at the line, it's one of those I was doing PA for that game, and sometimes you get lost in the game. You don't even see the stat line until afterwards, and when you have a solid all-around team performance like you had, and then you look at a line like Reggie Reed, 13 points, 7 boards, 7 assists, and 2 steals. That's a pretty good all-around game right there.
Yeah, like I've talked about, offensively, the way we play, everyone touches the ball. Everyone's got to make decisions. They got to be able to dribble, pass, and shoot, find their teammates. And, you know, that's led to some turnovers for us earlier this year. We need to clean those up, but it also leads to the shot distribution that you're seeing and the point distribution that has been very, very effective early.
And then going into the Western New Mexico game, Lions win 75-58 in Fieldhouse on Saturday afternoon. 15 more points from Reggie Reed with 6 boards and 5 assists. 14 points from Willie Rooks. 15-point lead at halftime, but the Mustangs hung around there towards the end.
Yeah, we tried to speed up the game a little bit. Energy in the building from our team, what I didn't think was great. We tried to pick them up full court and just make the game faster. And it ended up making the game faster, and we scored more points, but it also allowed them to score more points. First half, we played more of a methodical half-court game and did a really nice job of keeping them at bay. And, you know, we kind of opened up the floodgates. Well, that works both ways.
So this 9-0 run, start the season going into this last three games before Christmas with Rogers State on Friday, Fort Smith on Saturday, and International the next Tuesday. Talk a little bit about this tournament and having three games fairly tightly packed right before the break.
Yeah, well, with finals working out like it did, you know, this is the week of finals, so we can't play a game till after finals are over Friday. But it's a good tournament, very good competition. You know, those are the two of the top teams in the Heartland, and you know, we're at a point now where we want to you know, see where we're at, and we got the opportunity because we're going into to a buzzsaw down there. They're both teams expecting to win. Both teams very well coached. And I'm just excited about the opportunity for our guys to compete again and compete on that level. You know, a lot of eyes in our leagues and region will be watching those games to see how good we really are and how good those teams are. So, and then we turn around, probably not the best scheduling on my part, but because of the D2 mandatory break, we had to play the international game on the 19th, Tuesday the 19th, instead of maybe pushing it a day or two out. But you know, we'll get back Saturday night from the road trip, and we'll take Sunday off, and then we'll head down Monday and take care of business.
All right, well, maybe I'll be on the bus with you Monday off. Trip to Kansas City one day, Laredo the next. Coach Rose, good luck this weekend. Thanks for joining us on Lions Roar. We'll be back right after the break. We'll go with our women's basketball coach, Jason Burton.
Thank you, guys.
The program you're enjoying right now was made possible by a group of folks just like you who make contributions to public radio. Support programs just like this one. Visit KETR.org and click donate.
All right, welcome back to Lions Roar, second segment of the day. Those are men's scores. That's not going to do you much good. Our women's basketball coach, Jason Burton, joins me. After Lions go 2-0 at home, we'll look back and we'll look ahead and everything. But the game I want to talk about, first off, in multiple aspects, is Thursday's game against Eastern New Mexico. Let's start with the Education Day portion of it.
What do you want to know?
Well, you knew we were going to bring a big crowd. You knew our external team had reached out to the school districts. But when you come out, your team comes out after the national anthem and everything, and there's 2,100 kids in the building. I mean, that was pretty loud, wasn't it?
I just got my voice back, and y'all are making me be on the radio.
I was going to say, well, we have microphones here, it's not so
bad.
No,
it was incredible. It was a game that you really couldn't hear. It was a game at home that you have to use your signals. You have to really be in tune with what's going on. I thought our girls did a really good job of making sure that they huddled up after every break they could. They looked at the bench. That our communication, you're moving with hand signals versus talking. And as much as I tried to talk, it was a great atmosphere to be in. I thought the students had a great time. I know our girls had a great time at the game and playing in that environment. And the officials even said the same thing, that it was one of the best just Division II basketball environments around. And so it was really fun to play in.
And then do you think, especially against an opponent like Eastern New Mexico, who won the league last year, was predicted to finish second in the league this year, we'll get to the basketball part of it, but does that help like simulate what a postseason environment could be like if you make a regional?
No question. And, you know, Coach Prague, give him a lot of credit. You know, anytime you move a game up, you know, 6 hours, normally there's some type of kickback or blowback, but he was great. He was all for it because it's rare that you get a chance to play in that type of environment. And that's definitely postseason environment right there. And we needed it versus a good team. You know, Eastern New Mexico, despite their record, they're a really good ball club, and they turned around after the loss to us and beat Tarleton State. And I really think that if it wasn't for that environment, you know, we may not play the same. We might not have that same energy. And so I appreciate Tim and our administration and everybody that put in work to put that on. It's 2 years in a row. It's been a first-class event. And so really glad to be able to take part in that.
Well, now to the actual basketball part of that game. That's a tough opponent in Eastern New Mexico. I mean,
really tough.
Especially down in the post. I mean, what kind of adjustments did you make? You scored 20 points in the first half and then come back, force overtime, and you score 13 points just in the 5 minutes of overtime. So there are definitely some adjustments that got made as the game went.
One adjustment was we got Tay back. You know, she got 2 fouls in the first 3 minutes of the game. When one of your leading scorers isn't playing, you definitely have to make some adjustments. But I thought not having one of your leading scorers in the game for almost the whole first half, we played some really good defense. And that was something that we relied on the rest of the game. Second half, we did a lot of zone. We kind of changed it up on them because they have one of the best players in the conference, Michaela Connor. But having Tay back on the floor, and then Brianna Wise, I mean,
30 points with 19.
She's playing out of her mind right now, leading the conference and scoring, coming off the bench. She's doing a really good job. And so, you know, you have a player like that, it's just fun to watch and it's fun to be a part of. And she did a great job of finding ways to get to the free throw line for us, and we needed that to win the game.
Have you ever been part of a game where one player scored, had 23 free throws, and the other team had 12 fewer than player?
That's what I said. She put the team on her back. We talked about that after the game. The game ball went to her because she played spectacular. And you talk about somebody, too, that I didn't know she was going to come back in the game. She went down in the third quarter, and she hit her head hard, and we didn't know if she was going to have a concussion or what. But they cleared her to play, and she comes back out and dominates the game. And so she's really been really been a treat this year, and to have back-to-back weeks where she was the Offensive Player of the Week, it kind of shows you where she's at right now.
And to have that kind of momentum early in the season's really got to help for what you want to go with, the kind of momentum you want to have going into this break.
No question, no question. To be 3-1 in conference going to the break is you know, you, of course, you'd love to be 4-0, but 3-1, it puts you in a really good spot going to the break, especially with two home games that first week coming back, and then that Tarleton Tuesday game the week after. So
three home games in five days.
Exactly.
So we'll talk about the Saturday game, a little bit different game. Western New Mexico, obviously not quite as strong of an opponent. You win 81-40. Morning game, good performance. Arteja Gay, 19.6 boards, 14 points from Princess. Everybody who got on the floor scored. You shoot almost 40% from the floor, 75% from the free throw line. Pretty strong overall performance for what you want in a game like that.
Yeah, that was a special day. You know, you talk about the national semifinals at home. It was the anniversary of the 1972 national championship team, so we brought out the throwbacks.
Yes,
put on
I
the
love
East
it.
Texas
I love
State
it.
Jerseys, even though you didn't necessarily like them. I loved them.
Hey, man, white on gray is a little tough, but I do love East Texas, so it evens out. I'm going to go thumbs up, double thumbs up on that.
But our girls, I think that, you know, the day, it kind of sunk into to our team, just, you know, what all was going on campus, and you know, we're at that same stage where we want to be a part of history, and Kobe Cartho and the football team are doing a great job, and they're on a historic run, and it just rubs off on everybody. And when you have a chance to be a part of that day, and we talked about it, we want to go 3-0 on the day, and it starts with us. So for us to be 3-0 on the day, we got to win. Men's basketball has to win, and then football has to take care of business, and luckily all three of us did. So
I don't know there was that much luck involved.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of skill.
You played well.
Myself. But so let's talk a little bit about this
A little luck because Kobe Carter, the fake punt.
We'll talk about that
in the end zone.
We'll talk about that.
It was a little luck.
I still think there's
skill,
some
though.
Skill.
A lot of skill.
These two games going into the break, going down to Nacogdoches on Saturday to play SFA. It's okay. I've got family there. I can say that. Playing SFA in an exhibition game on Saturday. And then St. Mary's on Tuesday, a tough opponent. Talk a little bit about this week and how you're doing that a little bit special to go into the break.
Yeah, so we kind of set the schedule like this on purpose. We wanted a game right after finals that didn't count, but we got a chance to kind of get back in the rhythm of things. And so we're going over to Stephen F. Austin, get to play against my former assistant and Lynn Bishop, and then Coach Kellogg, who used to be at West Texas A&M, and see kind of a common foe and playing a game that it's a really good opponent, but it's not going to count on our record, and it gives us a chance to kind of, you know, knock off the cobwebs. But then we turn around on Tuesday and play St. Mary's, which will be a big game as far as our regional rankings later on. And in between, though, we're going down to Houston with Lavelle Hendricks, and we have some time to spend in the community and do some Hurricane Harvey relief. And that's really going to be special for our players to go down there. We're going to hand out some Christmas presents, I think, Sunday night. And then Monday, have a chance to go out in the community and do some work there before we play on Tuesday. And then we'll come back after Christmas break and play another Division I in UTSA. So kind of have two Division I opponents coming up and kind of get a chance to kind of gauge where we're at this point in the season and really give us a benchmark when we go back into conference play after Christmas.
Awesome. Sounds like a great trip and a great way to
Definitely.
Start the holiday break for your team. Let's give a round of applause for head coach Jason Burton and the women's basketball team. We'll wrap this show up here in just a second. Their head football coach, Colby Carthel.
Hello, this is Alex Shiloh from the Lions football team. The Lions Champion Fund is the official support unit for Lion Athletics.
Donations to the LCF go directly to providing a best-in-class experience for all 436 Lion student-athletes. I am Sydney Reyes from the Lion volleyball team.
For more information about the LCF, you can visit lionchampionsfund.com.
Again, that's lionchampionsfund.com, and thank you for your best-in-class support.
All right, we're here to wrap up the fall semester of Lions Roar here in the Lion Main Cafe. I'm Josh Mank here with our head coach, Colby Carthel of the Lions football team. Two-touchdown win over Harding in the national semifinal. There's so much to talk about this week, that game, the game coming up. It's hard to narrow down where to start, but during warm-ups, the crowd had started to fill in, and there's this shot in the highlight video of the guys walking out of the locker room towards the west side stands, that crowd, 10,000 strong for a national semifinal. What was that feeling like for you and the team?
Oh, it was pretty surreal. You know, that's what you play this game for, and just really appreciate everybody turning out the way they did in East Texas, and you know, our fans and students, alumni, townsfolk, and there's people coming out of the woodworks, and there wasn't a seat to be had, standing room only there in that south end zone. So that's really special. You know, I'd be lying if I didn't say I didn't tear up a little bit. Just got a little emotional just right there before the game, because that was pretty cool seeing what these guys have done and to get this, you know, this whole region that excited about a football game and have that much on the line. And then it was really rewarding to go out there and play as well as we did for four quarters and able to get the win for the home crowd and get us onto the big stage with the national championship game this week.
That win did come, but three plays into the game, that big touchdown run by Harding, that was pretty much the only big play they had the whole day.
Right.
But were you getting a little nervous then? Or?
Well, you know, we knew he was going to have to make some adjustments because it didn't take him long to score. And looked up at the scoreboard clock, did some quick math, and realized we were probably going to lose 186 to nothing if that stayed the same. But we were able to get back in the game and start slowing them down a little bit, and offense made some plays. We were able to, flip the field and the momentum there in the second quarter and then didn't look back from there.
Talking about flipping the field and momentum, there's a play you and I have talked about. They've talked about on TV. They've talked about just about everywhere you can. That fake punt from the 10-yard line on 4th-and-1 with Tristan Perry throwing what a 7-yard completion to Corey Smallwood that could have been a lot more. Have you been working on that play for 14 weeks, dialing it up?
Well, not 14, but about 7 or 8. It's been a while, you know, and that was one we thought we could be successful on if the right opportunity presented itself. And I don't know that 4 yards deep in our own end zone is the right opportunity, but it was the right time, and it worked. And I'd said on the headset, field goal team, get ready. I was expecting to score a touchdown, but we caught it and fell down. But I'm just glad he caught it and got the first down. And offense went out and made some really good plays, got the momentum, and started rolling down and capped it off with a great catch by Hobbs. And that also got some attention on Monday Night Football and everything else. So it was a great 99-yard drive that took it from 7-7, where they were fixing to get the ball and probably a chance to score the short field, to a 14-7 win. And you can get those option teams playing from behind. That's a big advantage. And so that was a big momentum switch for us and helped us, secure that victory.
In nearly every interview last week going into the game, you said we need to get a 2-score lead so that they have to come back, and that's exactly what happened in the third quarter, and then they're down by a touchdown. We've got the ball on our own 10 after the kickoff after a touchdown, and that play to DeArthur Cowan, who he was here. I think he just left.
Yep.
Did you expect that play to go for 90? Because I'm not sure anybody did.
Coach Storm tells them all the time, every play's worth 6 points. And if it's executed perfectly, you'll score 6 points. And that was one that just, happened to be executed perfectly. Saw some great blocking there. And even downfield around the 50, 40-yard line on the other side, Marquise Wimberly just puts a guy on his back. And that's what you see with a championship team, is you see 11 guys on the field all working for one common goal. And so you're going to have some plays like that. And, had one earlier that Marquise caught and took for about 70. I got called back for a chop block that I've yet to see, but it all works out.
Yeah, we won the game.
That's right.
And then to wrap up that special day, that we made the announcement, please stay off the field, because we wanted to get our team picture and everything, but we knew that wasn't going to happen. And to have Coach Hawkins down there on the field calling the roll 45 years, I mean, they probably kicked off earlier in the day that day,
right,
but pretty much 45 years to the moment that they called the roll after a 1972 national championship.
There he is again.
I mean, that was
doing it in Ernest Hawkins Field.
We use the quote on Twitter, you use it in the pregame speech, the script has been written. I mean, could you have scripted that day any better for that team?
The one thing I was disappointed in, I don't know how it happened, but the goalpost survived.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys hear that, right? I mean, if we get to do this again –
I was expecting that goalpost to end up in G Lake or something, but I think everybody just got so excited in the moment. It's not every day you go to the national championship game, so it was a lot of fun, and it was really surreal, and just so much hard work from a whole lot of people. It was a very rewarding evening for a lot of folks.
All right, moving ahead to the last game on the schedule. You put the national championship game on the schedule every year when we do the online thing, and two of us get to not hit the delete button on it. It's us in West Florida. A really cool trip that it's going to be to Kansas City with the going to the VA hospital on Friday, the press conference, the banquet, all the hoopla that you expect to go with a national championship game.
it's got to feel awesome in the team room and the office and the meetings and everything, knowing that all this work that all 170 some odd teams talk about in July and August, we're the ones that are actually getting to execute it. It's got to feel fantastic.
It is. It's a pain in the rear right now trying to get the logistics of everything and traveling that many people up there and being here and there and everywhere. I'm hoping sometime this week I get to watch some film
so
I know a little bit about our opponent. But it will be a fun week, and that's the main thing. I want our guys and our team and our staff and our fans to just enjoy the moment, enjoy this week, because it doesn't happen. But it is. There is a game to be played at 5 o'clock on Saturday. And that's what we're going up there to do. And so we will stay focused on the goal. We'll enjoy the moment, but hopefully find a way to come out with a victory Saturday night.
You're looking at that West Florida team. You said you haven't got to watch much film. I know their quarterback's about as tall as Marcus almost. Mm-hmm. Pretty big guy, pretty athletic team from the Gulf South, second-year team, Cinderella story, obviously. But, I mean, our team's a great story as well. I mean, this has got to be one of the better stories for a postseason college football game just about ever.
It is. I think the focus will be on them. It's their third year of football, second year actually playing games. But, you know, they're in Florida. And Florida's a lot like Texas, only they're one of only two D2 programs in Florida. So they've got some tremendous athletes, a great team, very athletic. And, you know, just put it in perspective, we beat North Al 8-7. They beat them 30-7. I mean, so that's a tough conference that they came out of and a tough region, Super Region 2. So we're going to have to play extremely well. And, you know, we're not going to play outside of ourselves, but just go up there and put a good 60 minutes together and play well in all three facets of the game. And if we do that, I think we'll be in it with a chance to win late, and that's all you can ask for to be playing end of December for a national championship. So hopefully we have a good week and get up there and represent, you know, not only our school but our Lone Star Conference well. It's been 24 years since an LSC team won it. Or was there?
In it.
It's been 30 something years since they won it, so it'd be cool to be the team that brings it home for the Lone Star. So we're gonna go up there and do our best.
Yeah, and cool little connection to that 82 Southwest Texas team, and you'll appreciate this. You can tell me who the coach of that team was.
Jim Wacker.
And you know whose granddaughters play here?
The Wackers.
Yep, and Jaslyn Wacker came out at noon today. She had to leave the cafeteria, but I was able to tell her second team All-American. She just found out today.
Wow.
So that is academic All-American.
Yep.
That is fantastic. So round of applause for Jaslyn. I think she had a final or something to go take. So surprise, surprise, the academic All-American's taking a final.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
so we want to say thank you to Coach Carthel for being on Lions Roar every week for the fall semester. And we figured this would be only two teams get to keep talking to their football coach on December, what is today, the 12th, during the coaches show. Every week, Lions Roar. Thanks to the Lions going to the national championship game. National championship game will be on the Lions Sports Network, also ESPN2 for those of you who can't make it to Kansas City. It's a short trip. It's one of the shortest trips we've had in the playoffs. So if you can make it, that would be fantastic. We'd love – I think our fans are opposite the camera. So A&M Commerce, let's have a good time. Let's show out for the national championship game. Also want to shout out to our track team, 10 school records, 9 NCAA qualifiers in their first meet. Didn't get a chance to fit them into the show today because – got a lot going on.
A lot to talk about.
So shout out to the track team. Thanks a lot, Coach Carthel, Coach Von Rosenberg, and Coach Burton. This has been Lions Roar for the fall semester. I'm Josh Manx signing off. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Go Lions.